Welcome to IT Talk, Hack Your Tech Career, a WGU-sponsored podcast for aspiring and established information technology professionals. We talk with in-the-know experts to explore what's happening in the tech world and how to land the IT career you want. Let's jump right in.
Welcome, everybody, to our podcast today. My name is Davon Copeland. I'm a military SPM over at WGU. I got Dan the Man Morrell. How you doing today?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And the reason why is because I got this wonderful guy with this just luxurious looking beard. His name is Mike Peterson, and he's here as our special guest today. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Davon. Thanks for having me. Hello, yep, Dan. Yep.
For the crowd that's listening, Dan decided to bring one of his buddies. And I don't know if you guys watched the podcast from the last time. For those of you that like the visuals, Dan decided to get a haircut. turns out that the hair from the haircut went into Mike's beard.
Exactly. Keep it right here. Keep me anonymous.
Oh, man. All right. Now we know for sure you're in the military, Mike.
Loving it. Cat's out of the bag. So all three of us, military veterans. Mike, I just want to let you know that I appreciate your service and your sacrifice.
Thanks, Davon. Same to you.
Yep.
And
yep,
Dan as well.
Yep. And so today we're going to be talking about something that's extremely near and dear to all of our hearts, and that is the path from military to PhD. Today, our guests with Dan and myself, we went the enlisted route, and Mike's an officer. So now we're covering everything. As we were talking about this and putting this thing together, we wanted to make sure that we were going to talk about everything in between. So the certifications that could help, we'll do a deep dive into that. Before we get started, Mike, I'm going to have you introduce yourself pretty much. Just let us know who you are, where you're from, why you're here.
For sure. Yeah. Thanks, Davon. So yeah, Mike Peterson, I live in Oregon. I was in the Coast Guard right out of high school. I went to the Coast Guard Academy. So cake eater. And I was fortunate enough. My dad was enlisted in the Coast Guard. Actually was in the Navy for 6 years when I was a kid and then rolled over to the Coast Guard and retired right as I rolled into the Coast Guard. So I got to serve with some of his friends. But it was an example for me. I get to move all over the place, see some amazing places. My dad did search and rescue mainly, and so I got to see some pretty amazing cases in Kodiak and Juneau, Alaska, where I grew up, and then he retired out of New England. And was always interested in the Coast Guard. Did pretty well in high school and was accepted and got a bachelor's degree in mathematical and computer sciences back when computers didn't have hard drives or RAM, and he booted them off a floppy disk, a Mac Plus, for those who are familiar. And then I was able to walk into a career, got a commission as an ensign right out of the Coast Guard Academy and drove a ship, became the network administrator, had a database that maintained all our lights, lighthouses, and buoys. And I didn't touch a computer all through high school, got that Mac Plus at the Coast Guard Academy, but still didn't really know what the application was. And so got a full experience on my first tour and ended up going to Coast Guard headquarters and managing our ACE navigation system for the entire Coast Guard. That qualified me for grad school. I was able to go to grad school on the Coast Guard's dime, full time on active duty. And then I had to do a payback tour. And I did that in actually West Virginia, of all places that the Coast Guard is. We have what's called an operations system center there. And we manage all our international systems for law enforcement, marine safety, and so on. And they're congressionally mandated to have uptime of 99.7% or higher. So I got lots of great experience with systems. As Davon mentioned, I became certified in Unix and eventually Linux. And when I got off of active duty, which was right after 9/11, it qualified me to walk into teaching, which I had never even considered. So I was able to start teaching when I got off active duty, and I taught computer science, math, IT classes, and continued to look at certifications as they became available. And so I was able to get my A+, my Net+, Security+, Linux+, and just kind of stayed in that vein and got to a point where I lost a job because I didn't have a PhD. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to look into the PhD, not realizing that my GI Bill had not been tapped yet because I had been fortunate enough to get my bachelor's and master's while on active duty. So I was able to get 40% of my PhD covered.
Stop the presses. Hold on. So as an officer, you came in, you had a bachelor's degree, you had mm-hmm. a bunch of certifications, right? Could have walked away. But yep. You decided to stay in and get your master's degree, right?
Correct.
And at exactly. that point, there were so many opportunities for you out there. You stayed in, right? Yep. And then eventually you get out and you lost the job because you didn't have a PhD.
That's
so
correct.
So at that point, you started tapping in. So TA was already paying for your, or not TA, but whatever incentives that you had, the mm-hmm. blood money that you had to sign to be a department head to get that money to go to school on the dime of the government, right? Right. So you did all that. So you would think that you'd get out and be adequately prepared to do everything, because I'm assuming that you also had a security clearance dealing with all that IT,
absolutely.
Dealing with all
TS,
those things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you go and get the PhD, and I understand that you just said that you lost a job because of it, but is that the only thing that drove you to get that PhD?
No. I wanted it for a long time, yeah. And so I was in a temporary teaching position because we had moved, and so I was in this temporary position for about 2 years, and then they opened it up to full-time, and I applied, and I was like, I got this. I've been here for a couple of years. I'm doing well, and somebody with a PhD showed up, and that was the first time I had reconsidered. It's one of those things that just hangs out, and you think, then maybe that's something I'll do, but there's never really that extra push, and that was the push. And so, yep, so that was the extra thing I needed. And to that point, as soon as I started working on that and finished my coursework, the WGU job became available, and they wanted me to work from home and pay me a little bit more, and it was a no-brainer at that point. And because of my certifications and my military background, that's why I got the job at WGU. They were looking for somebody to come and support the new Linux courses that I had just launched, and the fact that I was ABD at that point, it was also a feather in my cap in terms of qualifying for the job. So great sequence of events that I want to say were out of my hands, but the military paved the way for me, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So Dan, you and I have had a million conversations specifically about education and attainment and all of those things that we promote in the military. You shared with me an article that you had read that kind of lit a fire under me. And it was specifically about how an enlisted person in the military could never get a PhD. I'm going to hold your beer.
Okay.
Talk to us about that.
Okay. So I was actually in a meeting and I was with a Gartner analyst, right? So Gartner Group, the big ones with the fancy graphs and all the fancy research that they do and all the questionnaires that they ask. The Gartner guy was absolutely adamant that there is no one who ever started off as enlisted, went and got their PhD. And he defended that position quite well. The only problem is there's an elephant in the room. There's an enlisted guy with PhD sitting right next to him. So with him thinking absolutes, he's like, you'll never do this. This never happens. It's statistically impossible, blah, 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 blah. I mean, just like, you know, the whole nine yards. No, I'm sitting right next to him. I said, you know, I was enlisted. I have a PhD. And man, the guy didn't miss a beat. And then we started talking about the Navy corpsman that wanted to become a doctor, that went all the way through doctor school to become a full-on flight surgeon. And then we talked about the airman. And if I remember correctly, her name is now Lieutenant Scholl, who is now a research PhD scientist who had started off as an airman. Again, it's that thing. If people will tell you, no, you can't do this, or no, that unicorn doesn't exist. But mm-hmm. I know of three of them. I'm one of those three. We have another guy here, Mike, that started off as an officer doing the same thing. I mean, we all exist. It's doable, it's achievable, and it's obtainable, even if people are telling you it can't be done or that these people don't exist.
Yeah. And so last week we talked about our last podcast. We talked about the roles and how we got to where we got there. Right. I used tuition assistance and I got the AEV, which is the advanced education voucher. And then you had other people who I worked with that were officers who got the GEV, which was the graduate education voucher. And so there were a lot of opportunities that were out there. And although we've spoken about going to college, you know, I kind of want to hone in to that enlisted person or even that officer with the bachelor's degree who decided to get all these additional certifications and was able to leverage them once they did get out of the military. What types of hot certifications are there out there that an enlisted person can get or an officer that can get who is getting ready to transition out of the military, you know, whatever branch it is, and how can they leverage what they already have in military experience, certifications, and the fact that they have a security clearance that may even be a TS, depending on where they work.
For me, I think honestly, from that, my IT, Cryptologic, RadioMan, those are really more the things. Ellen, anything in the MOS 25 range, that's really more where I came from. From that viewpoint, if you're in IT and you're in the military, you're getting things like your Network Plus to go up in rank, right? That's always a hot ticket. Your Security Plus. If you're an officer, I would go more for the policy side. So I'd go more for your CISSP from ISC Squared, the Certified Information System Security Professional, CERT. Linux is always a winner. Windows is always a winner, but Windows has reduced their certificate platforms to strictly the cloud. They're only doing Azure certifications now. They're not doing server. They're not doing Office or Windows or anything else like that. It's all just the cloud. So those are always going to be popular. And there are companies that see Amazon as an amazing competitor, right? So they'll never use Amazon's cloud solution. They'll always go with a Microsoft solution. So if you're wanting to work in retail and things like that, you're going to go with a Microsoft solution. You'll need those Azure certs. Also, the military with a contract for WarCloud went with Microsoft as a solution. So you're going to want those certs to get into either contractor with MITRE or SAIC or Booz Allen Hamilton. That's my viewpoint. Mike, what do you got? What do you see from your vantage point in computer science?
Yeah, I mean, computer science and IT for sure, you know, have some overlaps. But I would say that what a lot of people underestimate is just having a military record in addition to education, in addition to certifications, puts you at the top of the list.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
Yeah, military training, I'll tell you what, it gives you credibility beyond belief. And actually, I've hired some folks here at WGU that have gone up the chain. The senior manager said, oh, they didn't interview well. And I said, do you realize this person went to the Naval Academy or did 4, 8, 12 years in the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, or whatever, and you're overlooking them? I think we need to talk to them again. And actually, 100% of the time, they've gone back and interviewed those folks and pressed them a little harder. And they weren't selling themselves. That's the thing, is they were minimizing their military record. You putting that in the forefront, they got hired. And so, yeah, so there's a lot to be said for that. And the government invests so much in our training, and then we sell it short. It maybe doesn't show up on the resume the way it should. It doesn't show up in the conversations and the interview questions and things like that. I think it's unprecedented in terms of the level of training we get, you know, whether it's academy, whether it's boot camp, whether it's, you know, 4 years, whether it's 22 years, like my friend, Senior Chief Copeland. There's a lot to be said for it, honestly.
Yeah. And you know what? Military personnel are taught, you know, service above all. And so there's a level of humility that we must have, right? That appraisal of self. So it's very hard for us, especially when it comes to our transition, especially if we're pivoting, right? I talked to somebody this last week who's an LS, works in logistics, is going full bore into the information system technology. So when this person comes out, not leveraging all of the leadership, all of the logistics, all of the management, all of the things that made this person like great for the military, they're going to think, you know what, I'm just starting this IT stuff, so they're not going to leverage it. I think that it's extremely important that we utilize all of those strengths and make sure that we put that stuff out there. So I'm glad that you brought that up. So I got a couple questions for you all, right? In this profession, right? Again, you went from enlisted to PhD, and we got the officer to PhD. What are some common myths about this profession or when it comes to pivoting that you guys can like debunk or that are out there or things that you just kind of like, that's not true. That's not how we roll. This is what it really is that you can kind of bring up. Are there any out there?
I think one of the biggest myths I had to overcome was the actual dissertation. So everyone always crashes against the dissertation. When you're working on your PhD, you've got that final paper, the final presentation, and the defense. And everyone always has, oh my gosh, it was such a nightmare. It was such a horrible thing. Oh my God, trauma. I mean, all the trauma you would ever want to see has been labeled against the dissertation. I was actually really surprised because it was more like a meeting of friends. By that point, me and my dissertation committee had been through a year's worth of work together. We all knew each other really, really well, and we knew what to expect from each other. So there were no surprises. It wasn't horrible. It was more just a meeting of friends. So the dissertation process for me wasn't combative at all. It was just, let's do this final check mark so I can call you. Congratulations, Dr. Morrill.
Nailed it. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I was thinking a couple of things. Just that in some way, education isn't worth it. I've got a friend who served in Desert Storm, and he's got a job with Microsoft right now. And he's like, I just don't think I need the education. I don't think it's, you know, worth my time. But he's working 100 hours a week, and he doesn't have the ability to kind of, you know, move back and forth and make choices and things like that. And he had a great career with the military. And, you know, he's obviously doing great in terms of what he's doing for work now, but he doesn't have choices. And so I think education does open doors. And when you have Bill Gates and, you know, other folks that dropped out of college to, you know, fund these big companies, you get this impression that that's the norm. And the norm is that if you get that sheet of paper, that bachelor's degree, that master's degree, and then even a PhD, it really does open doors. And so for me, the opportunities have been really, really boundless just because I've been able to access and pursue education. And at the same time, I will say, being an officer, being an academy graduate, and not staying until retirement, I took some lumps for that, probably more self-afflicted than anything, that, oh, you didn't stay and you didn't retire. You know, you're not going to be as successful as your peers who went on for me to make captain and even admiral at this point, because I'm 30 years out from graduation, but I have been successful. And I have a lot of peers that have, you know, got out at the lieutenant commander rank and have gone on to be very successful. And so that's another myth, is that, oh, you got to stay in and do your 20 years plus to be successful, you know, if the military invests in you. And it's not true. It's a launch platform. And then these folks that are retiring, you know, at 20 or 30 years, a lot of them have gotten master's degrees or getting doctorates to have a second career. And so they have to do that to open doors as well. They can't all be consultants. So those are the two big myths for me.
I'd like to jump in on that one. A friend of mine worked at Microsoft Game Studios for 3 years as their senior security engineer. Best job ever. But I was a contractor at the time, and the manager I was working for, Jason, didn't have a degree. They will hire you in Microsoft without a degree. But to get promoted, you have to have the degree. So they'll bring on board, but you have a limited lifespan without that degree on board. And Jason really hit that wall while I was in the middle of it. And I was teaching at ITT Tech at the time, kind of part-time. And he was desperately trying to figure out how he could get his bachelor's degree so he could get promoted and not get kicked out, because Microsoft Game Studios is the best place in the world to work.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. So as I listen to both of you speak, right, I'm moved to ask a question. But before I do, I kind of want to bring it back to the levels to this, right? And the part that was poignant when you were speaking is that you're always going to run into a roadblock if you're not looking for a way to move up and move on. And what I mean by that is this: if I only get my certifications, it's only going to take me this far. If I only get my bachelor's degree, associate's degree, master's degree, it's only going to take me this far. You have to have a whole body. And so next week, we're going to have somebody come on that is an employer. He works in the tech space. He's from CCS Global Tech. And he looks at not only getting people certified, but colleges also, and how you can marry that stuff up so that you can have that full body kind of comprehensive or holistic, you know, educational piece, so that you're able to maneuver and pivot, because that's basically what you all did. And so during your time teaching at ITT Tech, working at these places, right? What are some of the biggest challenges that you had to overcome in those roles, other than just the certifications? I guess, well, that's a big one, the certifications and the teaching. But what were some of the kind of day-to-day things that you had to deal with that were challenging in those roles?
I think for me, the biggest one was job pivot. You know, you get hired in to do a thing, and then your job morphs off to be something completely different. And you have to go with where your job is going, or you find yourself basically not doing what your job is. So I may have been hired in as a security engineer, but the job started morphing more often to network engineering. So I needed to go get my CCNE. That was the only way that I was going to be able to retain and stay on that contract, was getting through the CCNE, because that's where they needed the skills. So that was my big thing. And pivot, the job will pivot all the time. Just because I got hired at WGU to teach Linux with Mike, and now here I am teaching and running the cloud computing program, I've had to go get my AWS certs. I'm getting my Microsoft certs, my Azure ones now. I'm constantly reshaping who I am and what I need to learn every day.
That's great. Yeah. And as I mentioned before, you know, for me, I was in a job, I was doing well in it. And obviously the degree, you know, is what failed me. So that was one pivot. The next job I moved into after that, and I didn't mention, was an information security role, and they wanted to make sure that I had the Network Plus and Security Plus certifications. And so I had to get those, and I had to get them pretty quickly, and they're not easy certifications. So those were big challenges. I had to study a lot while I was working full time. And wouldn't you know it, once I got those, that's what qualified me for this job at WGU that I eventually got. So it was fortuitous. And much like you said, Davon, just the conflation of degree, experience, certifications, military background, that was the magic for me. And I've been turning away work ever since, honestly. It's been fantastic.
I love it. I love it when a plan all comes together, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure. All right. So this is going to be my last question for you, gentlemen. And again, I've enjoyed this thoroughly. What is the one thing that you wish you had known at the beginning of your career? Before you answer. And the reason why I ask this question is because we have service members leaving the military every day, not knowing where they're going to go, what they're going to do, afraid of the opportunities. They know that it's time for them to go, but they may not have necessarily had the time because, you know, mission comes first, you come last, right? And that's a part of our culture. But what was the thing, right, if any, that you wish you knew when you began?
I'll go first this time, Dan. Yeah, for me, I was 17, you know, when I went to the Coast Guard Academy, and I didn't know what was possible. And now I know that so much is possible, and I would have been a lot more bold, a lot of trepidation, you know? And so now I'm at a spot where I'm like, I'm so confident, you know, not cocky. I just know that I bring experience to the table. I bring skills. I bring communication and leadership. And honestly, it didn't come into the prime of understanding that until probably my late 30s, early 40s. And actually, I just watched the Coast Guard Academy graduation. Biden spoke, and I'm watching those kids graduate. And here it is 30 years after I graduated, and I'm watching each one. And I'm like, you have a future in front of you. I hope you've got a mentor that's telling you what's possible. And I had that. I don't know if I listened as well as I could have or should have. I was just probably too immature. But I'm looking for people, you know, that are in that age group now that I can mentor and be there for. And I feel like WGU is a great opportunity for us to find folks like that, or just, you know, maybe younger, looking for some direction. The inspire and develop leadership principle is something that I aspire to regularly. I'm always looking for opportunities to reach out and support people, give them an idea of what their potential is, and selling them on themselves. That's a big thing.
So before you say a word, Dan, my body has to get readjusted, because you just gave me chills in my whole body. I didn't know what was possible.
Absolutely. That's the key. Yep. Future is boundless.
I'm just saying, that is the realest thing that I've ever heard in my life. And as a young person, it's the truth. None of us know. And none of us know our potential until we get out there and do it. So, oh, man. Dan, what you got?
I'm going to absolutely back Mike up on this one. So this is the one thing I love about the military, is that they will always pull a chair out for you to sit down at the table. They always will do that, right? And if you miss that opportunity at one command, you'll get it at another command. It wasn't until my third command that I actually really understood what that opportunity was. And I think I wish I had seen that opportunity when I first landed on the shores of Iceland for my first duty station, that I had an opportunity to go learn computer systems. And I mean, we're talking the old IBM Select computers, the old big honking chunks of metal. And I wish I had done that, and I didn't. I didn't until I got to my third duty station. And a person said, I don't want you in my communication center. Go work over here. Well, over here was the regional telecommunication center for all of Europe. Wow. So that was that moment where I said, okay, I'm going to take this one. But I wish I had seen those other opportunities along the way. So I'm really on the lookout every day now for those little opportunities, those little places to grow, learn something new, something to enjoy, and be confident in yourself that you can learn these things. You know, even if you don't get a certificate or something else, if you've learned something, there's your individual victory every day. If you learn something new every day, there's your victory every day.
Powerful. Learn something new every day. There is your victory. There is victory in progress. And that is what we are all about. One thing that I learned from this conversation is that you may not be the smartest. You may not have direction. You may not know where you're going, but if you have hustle, if you have drive, and you have determination, excuses are nothing. You're going to make it happen. So I appreciate that, guys.
I love it. Thanks, Dan. That's a great way of closing this out. Here, elbow. I'll do the elbow bump.
Boom. Big elbows. So
nice to meet you too, Davon. Yeah. Great to be here.
Yeah, it was awesome. I feel like we could talk for hours, but sadly, we do have to go. So thank you for coming, Mike. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully, we can get you to come again. Hey, everybody, tune in next week. We are going to have a special guest next week. Like I said, it's going to be from CCS Global Tech. His name is Joshua Dominic. He's going to be out here and he's going to be helping out those veterans that are transitioning from the military, looking for jobs and techs and opportunities. So we're going to get some insight into employers, because it's not just good to get a degree or a certification. You want to make sure that you get good employment so you can hang out a little bit. All right, Dan, you got anything?
Nope, I'll see you all next week. I'm looking forward to this one.
Same here. Thanks, you guys.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation has been interesting and helpful. To learn more about preparing for a career in IT, check out WGU's College of Information Technology at wgu.edu/IT. We hope you'll tune in next time.